And we're going to be looking at a passage in our Bible in Luke chapter 15. It's in the New Testament, if you want to go ahead and turn there. And this is a story of Jesus interacting with a few people who were complaining about how he was interacting with other people. And so Jesus breaks out into a few stories to share why he was doing what he was doing. And he tells the stories, and we're going to be looking at one of those stories today. You know, one of the fascinating things about studying who Jesus is and who God is and what he wants to do in our heart and life is how Jesus went about responding to people who basically complained about him or asked him questions is oftentimes Jesus would not directly look at the person and respond exactly like they thought he was going to respond. He would oftentimes tell stories, and as he told the stories, he would begin to tell stories that invited people to step into that story or fit into that story and see who they were. And I want you to know today, whenever we look at some stories that Jesus told, that's what he's inviting us to do too. He's inviting us to step into the story and see how we fit into God's story and have a way to look at our own heart. Jesus has a way of telling stories to make you do an internal examination of your own heart so that you can begin to move forward with your life. And we're gonna look at one of those stories today. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, tax collectors, how many of you love tax collectors? Come on. I didn't think so. So they didn't like them in this day either. So it says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners, they often came to listen to Jesus teach. In other words, they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say about who he was. However, this made the Pharisees, some of the religious leaders, and the teachers of the religious law, it made them complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. And so there's a group of people who were complaining about who Jesus was hanging out with. And so again, Jesus breaks out into three stories here in Luke chapter 15. And they're all stories about things wandering off or being misplaced. And as Jesus is sharing these stories, he's really beginning to invite the people who were complaining against him into the story so they could see why he was doing what he was doing and also their place in the story and how maybe God wanted to do something in their own life also. And so Jesus tells a series of stories about things being misplaced. Has anybody ever misplaced anything? Anybody? Come on. Anybody? How about your car keys? You misplaced your car keys. Your key fob, come on, somebody. Your operating system, you know what I'm talking about, right? That cell phone, that iPhone, that Android that you carry around with you, it's your brain now, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody misplaced their phone before? And you passionately begin to pursue that phone because it has all this information in it, it's really, really important to you, and you want to get that phone because that phone is meant to be shared with you and share the information in it so you can move forward with your life. Well, what's interesting about Jesus interacting with the people he interacted with, because he interacted with all people, didn't matter who they were, didn't matter the color of their skin, didn't matter their age, didn't matter their gender, didn't matter their language they spoke, didn't matter where they were from. Jesus would simply interact with people in order to begin to show them that they had been misplaced. And the heart of God in sending Jesus into the earth is simply that. It's to help humanity, all of us, in all generations, down through the ages, understand that sin has misplaced us in the relationship that God desires to have with us. God desires to have a relationship with you. God doesn't desire just to give you resources. God doesn't desire, though he will give you resources, that's not his heart. His heart is to have a relationship with you and begin to let resources flow out of that relationship. But oftentimes, we don't understand who God is because we're basing God from a worldview of being misplaced in this relationship. Lots of things misplace us in the relationship. The Bible calls that sin. What is sin? Sin literally means to miss the target, to miss God's glorious standard for your life, to be off target. And the Bible says all of us are off target with this relationship, but God sends Jesus into the earth to begin to restore the relationship with humanity, realign our heart with him in the relationship so that we can all reach our full God-given potential. In other words, become who God has designed us to be. So let me repeat that again. Jesus is coming to the earth so that people can realize that they have sinned, missed the mark of God's glorious standard. He has paid for that sin. And so he is, by paying for that sin, if you put your faith in what he's done, you begin to have that relationship with God restored. Jesus came into the earth to restore the relationship. And not only restore the relationship between you and God and the next person and God, but also he came to realign you with your God purpose. In other words, what God created you to do. He didn't just come restore a relationship. He came to realign you with your God purpose. And not only realign you, he begins to speak into you so that you can reach your full God-given potential. When Jesus says, I came to give life and give it to the full, what does that mean? That means he came to give you a rich and satisfying life in the relationship you have with the Heavenly Father. You know who he is, you know who you are, and you begin to walk in it each and every day and become who he's designed you to be. However, in this passage, there were some people who had misinterpreted what it meant to have a relationship with God, misinterpreted why Jesus had come into the earth. And so Jesus begins to tell stories about the heart of God and why he was here. And what this story needs to do in this day and age right here is not only take us back to an ancient time, it needs to make us look at who we are as God's people and who we are as a church in a community representing the heart of God. And so the story that we're gonna look at today is found in Luke chapter 15. And this is the third in the series of stories that Jesus told. It begins with verse 11, so let's look at it. It says, Jesus told them this story. Remember, this is a story he tells some people who were complaining about who he was hanging out with. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between the two sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and he moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He gave him a job. The young man became so hungry that even the pods, the pig feed, that he was feeding the pigs, it looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, he began to examine his own heart. At home, even the hired servants had food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. In other words, at home, my father, who gave me all of these resources that I went and squandered away, you know, at home, he took care of everybody, and he did love me. I just ran from it. He says, now I will go home to my father, and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. In other words, I've missed it, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, the father ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. And the father stops him in mid-sentence and says this. But his father said to the servants, as the son was saying this, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead, and he has now returned to life. In other words, he was misplaced, but now he has returned into the relationship, and now I'm gonna realign him so he can reach his God potential. He was lost, but now he is found. The Bible says, so the party began. It continues on there and it says, meanwhile, there was another son. Remember, there were some people who complained against Jesus for hanging out with people. They didn't understand why Jesus was hanging out. Jesus goes on and tells a story. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And when he asked one of the servants what was going on, he says, your brother is back. He was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. In other words, he's been restored into the relationship. The older brother was angry. He was angry because the father embraced the boy, and the boy was restored in a relationship, and the father was throwing a party. The older brother was angry, and he wouldn't go in, and the father came out and begged him. But he replied, all of these years, I've slaved and never, he says, and you never once refused to do a single, I never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all of that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet, when this son of yours comes back, after squandering your money and on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing a fattened calf. I don't get it. Is what this son's saying. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and he has come back to life. He was lost and now he is found. Jesus tells this story so that the people who were complaining about who Jesus was hanging out with would find themselves in the story. In other words, he began to show them who he was, who Jesus was, and how he loves all people. No matter if they sit underneath his roof every single day, or they have wandered off and squandered all their resources away, he was showing the people who he was. In other words, he is a God of love and he loves all people everywhere at all times. But he was also showing who the people were who had run off and had begun to return so that he could restore the relationship. And these were the ones who went and squandered their stuff away. And then he was showing the people who were complaining who they were, because they were complaining that God loves people, that they don't understand why God loves people, because they thought that God's love was based on people's performance and not who he was. So see, God's love for you, my friend, isn't based on your performance. God's love for you is based on who he is. As a matter of fact, the scripture says your creator created you with purpose and he loves you just the way he created you. Though the enemy has gotten you off target and maybe you've misplaced the relationship and you don't fully understand the relationship and you go your own way, the Bible says that Jesus reveals in this passage the heart of God and what God says about people who have been misplaced. In other words, what God sees whenever people are misplaced is he sees opportunity. Yeah. Opportunity for what? See, the church needs to see opportunity too. He sees the opportunity for the person to step back towards him and get in right relationship so that he can realign them to fulfill their God-given potential and their purpose. See, the son that ran away, he was uncertain, he was unsettled, but in the midst of all of his uncertainty and unsettlement, something took place. Look what happened. The Bible says it this way in Luke 15, verse 20. As he squandered all his stuff away, he couldn't find a job and he was starving to death. In other words, he had hit rock bottom. The Bible says he returned home to his father. And while he came to his senses, he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him coming. Now that's a remarkable statement. And the reason is the son realized that no matter how much stuff he had or didn't have, in other words, at home, he had God's love. It wasn't really about the resources. It was about the father's love. And at home, the father took care of everybody and loved everybody basically the same. And what the son begins to realize is, you know what? I have missed and I have run away from God's love, but I need to turn my heart, which we would call it in the church world, we would call it repentance. I need to turn my heart back towards God and head back towards God and get back in right relationship with him. The Bible says that all of us have drifted away from God at some point, at one time or another. But what God is doing, he's doing a work in the world so that people come to their senses. So they turn around and begin to take a look at the relationship with their creator. And so, you know, again, it happens through circumstances, it happens through challenges, it happens through famine, it happens with without, it happens with, it happens all of these things. But the remarkable thing about this sentence is this. The Bible says that the father saw him coming. That means the father was looking for him to return. In other words, the father knew the opportunity was coming. Now, I don't know how long the boy had run off. I don't know how far he had gone. I don't know if he was gone for weeks, months, a couple of years, or whatever else. However, you know, the Bible says that when he starts coming down the driveway, the father sees him. What that tells me is the father was anticipating. He was anticipating that eventually that his created son is going to get to the end of himself, and eventually he's gonna come to his senses and he's gonna wake up. And when he does, the father is gonna be standing there looking for his return to step towards him and embrace him and say, welcome home. See, I don't know where you've been. I don't even know where you are right now in your life with God. But what I do know is God is sitting and waiting on humanity to return towards him and step into a right relationship. In other words, people say, well, you know, why is God not just returning to earth right now and coming back? Because the Bible says that he's patiently waiting for people to turn their heart back towards him before he returns in the fullness of who he's gonna be. So in other words, God is anticipating people's return. Oh, some people may return right here, right now, today. But see, the reality of it is we don't know the timing of when people are gonna come home. But what the church's responsibility is to see the opportunity that people can turn from their sin, their waywardness, going in the wrong direction. They can turn, and our job is to extend the relationship that we have with Christ Jesus and stand readily waiting, anticipating people's return. That means we're looking. We're believing. No matter how far somebody has gone, that God can do a work in their life and they can step back in relationship with him. The best way I know how to describe this is it's not like waiting on God. Really, I wrote it down in my journal this way. It's a position of unhurried pursuit. Waiting on the Lord does not mean be passive. It means to take a position of unhurried pursuit. In other words, like a linebacker on a defensive squad of a football team. What does that linebacker do? That linebacker patiently waits on something to happen, for someone to receive or get the football in their hand so that he can explode towards that football and take that person out, let's call it. And so he anticipates that the person's gonna get the ball. In other words, he's looking. He's waiting patiently, but anticipating that a person is going to get the ball. And when that person gets the ball, he explodes to the football because he knows something's getting ready to happen. So what I want to say to you today, God is in the same position as it pertains to your personal life, amen, to your children's life, yes, to your grandparents' life, to that boss you don't like life. God is anticipating that, you know what, at some point in time, that they're gonna come to their senses and understand what it means to be in a right relationship with their Creator and begin to show who God is to the rest of the world, be realigned with Him, live in their purpose, and begin to live it out. And they sit waiting on people to return. God is in a position waiting on hearts to turn back towards Him. But let me say this today. There's mind games going on in people's head. And some of us say, well, I can't return because I've gone too far. I've done too much. I'm not good enough. I need you to know Jesus told a story to remind us all that whether we're sitting under the roof of a church every Sunday or we have gone way off track, that God is sitting patiently waiting for people to return home so that He can step into that right relationship with you and begin to build you up into who He's created you to be. Look what it says next here in the passage, Luke chapter 15, verses 20 and 21. The Bible says, so the boy returned home, and while he was still a long ways off, the father anticipated his return and he saw him coming. Now the father, filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. So he ran towards the son and he embraced him. And what God wants to teach us as a people, as a church, is we need to have His heart. And when people turn and they begin to respond to the good news in this relationship of who God is, we need to embrace them too, right where they are. But not leave them there. See, this is the key. Is the boy come to his senses, he returns home, God sees, oh, now he's ready to enter into the right relationship. The father runs towards him with compassion and love, embraces him. And as he embraces him, what the boy begins to do is to talk about his past. The boy begins to talk about all the reasons, you know what, he run away from home. And can I tell you, the enemy, that's what he wants you to continue to play over in your mind, is your past. The reason the relationship went bad. And what the enemy will continue to do is remind you who you are in the past. And some of us can't get past the past because we continually sit and we want to talk about the past. But the father here, though he has love and compassion, he rudely interrupts the boy who talks about his past, and he turns to the servant and he says, quick, go get some things so we can celebrate. In other words, he stopped the boy in mid-sentence and said, basically, stop talking about where you once were and start talking about where I'm taking you to. Come on, somebody. The enemy wants you to continually play the tape recorder of your past. He wants to remind you of how you stepped out of the relationship. He wants to continue make you live in the past. And the Bible says to renew your mind with the word of God and begin to think about the new things that God is going to do in your heart and in your life. And I find this to be remarkable because so many people are paralyzed by their past, even though Jesus has stepped in and he has shown compassion and love to you right where you were when you turn your heart back towards God, but you fall prey of sitting in circles talking about your past instead of talking about your future. See, it's nothing wrong with sharing your past story about how God stepped in. But don't continue to stay in that story. Because God steps in to renew the relationship. Pay close attention. To realign our hearts so we can move forward to the greatness he has in store for us. And again, the reality of it is, we all have a past. And I could sit around and tell you how bad I've been. And that may make you feel real good about how good you are. But the reality of it is, the more I sit around and talk about how bad I used to be, the enemy makes me want to return to that badness. Because I'm continually rehearsing in my mind of being apart from God instead of being walking with God. See, I'm not saying sharing the story of how God rescued you is a bad thing. But what I'm saying is if all you do is sit in groups and you talk about, you know, your past addictions, your past this, your past that, and you don't talk about the solution of the addiction and the solution of the problem, and you don't continue to focus on where God's taking you to, and you continue to go back there and back there and back there, you'll find yourself backing up. I'm not against it. Talking and encouraging one another. But hear my heart. The thing is as we begin to surround ourselves sometimes with corrupt thinking, and we begin to just renew in our mind, that's who I used to be, that's who I used to be, then the devil will take us back to that spot. You know, there's people not moving forward in church today in who God called them to be and do great things and fulfill their God potential. Because something happened to them in church in the past. And again, I want you to know, church hurt happens to all of us if we've been in church for any amount of time in our life. Because the church is a bunch of imperfect people that God is perfecting and making into his glorious image. But if you sit in church long enough, somebody is going to say something that's gonna begin to hurt your heart. And I know it shouldn't always be that way, but it's going to happen. And if we dwell on that and say, I'm not going to fulfill my God potential because I got hurt by somebody in the past and I don't step into the future and become who God has designed me to be, then I'm letting my past rule over me and I'm not letting Jesus be the Lord of my life and rule over me and tell me who I'm going to become. And again, I'm not saying we shouldn't mourn with you. We shouldn't say I'm sorry. We shouldn't forgive one another. But our past experiences oftentimes define our future instead of God intervening and rearranging our heart and our life. And we continue to let those past experiences shape our future with God instead of letting God shape our future. I love this passage of scripture because, you know, in the passage, Jesus is revealing to the people who were complaining against him for eating with these people, he's revealing to them where their heart really is. They're like the older son in the story, and they're angry because the father is showing love to this person. But I love how the father steps in and basically tells the son who had run off, he says, stop talking about your past. Receive the love I'm showing you, and let's celebrate your future. See, the church needs to embrace people where they are, just like the father embraced the son where he was, but always encourage them to move to where they can be. The last thing that's pretty remarkable in this story is reveals to us something about the heart of God, and it reveals something about who we need to be as a church, is we've got to learn to celebrate with others whenever they come home. I think the church needs to have more to celebrate about and continually celebrate instead of instead of complain about too many people coming. See, it's interesting, isn't it? It's one of the ways that we celebrate. The Bible says here, the father turns to the servants. He says, quick, go get sandals for his feet, a ring for his finger, a robe for him. Go get the finest I have, put it on him. Go get the calf that's been being fattened out in the pen so we can have a party. Let's throw a party. And the one boy in the story, the son was out working in the field. He didn't want to celebrate the homecoming of the other, and his heart was callous because he had forgotten that his father was a father that desired relationship. The boy responded, the angry brother responded, look at all I've been doing. Look at all I've been doing for you. In other words, the boy had begun to make it about the resources instead of the relationship. The first son run off with resources and he forgot about the relationship. The second son began to make it about the resources he was producing and he forgot about the relationship. I need to tell you today, God celebrates people who come home and step back in right relationship with him. God is into relationship over resources. Some of us want to make life about the resources. My friend, life is about having a relationship with your creator so that you can know who he's created you to be. It's about being realigned with your purpose in life, not just floating from here to there. It's like, God, I know who you are. I know who you're telling me to be. I want to walk in the fullness of it and be a part of the local church and reach out with your goodness and kindness to the world and tell the world the good news about a resurrected Savior who's going to do amazing things in their life. Come on, church. I'm not going to be angry. When somebody responds to the good news, comes home. See, we do something called water baptisms here. We're gonna be doing some in a few short weeks here. What is water baptism? It's really a celebration. What it is the water doesn't change anything. But what the water is a celebration. It's to celebrate. You know what? This person has said no to their old life. Coming up out of that water, recognizing they're in right relationship with God and saying yes to the new life out in front of them. It's a way to say, I'm turning away from my old way of living and I'm coming out of the water renewed in this relationship with Jesus Christ, realigned, and I'm moving forward in my right purpose. See, baptism isn't just a religious exercise we do. It's a celebration. And that's why, you know, I love it when people walk through the baptism waters and their life represents that it's been changed by Jesus. That's why we make a big deal out of water baptisms here at Valorous Church. That's why I think we need to be doing hundreds of them a year. It's not so we can say, hey, look at us, and we got all these baptisms on our magnificent list. No, every one of those public baptisms represents someone saying no to their old self, yes to their new self in relationship with God, and I'm going to walk in the fullness of it. And my Bible says that the church, the people of God, should be full of all kinds of people. Doesn't matter your skin color? Doesn't matter the language you speak? It doesn't matter if you're male or female. Doesn't matter what your nationality is. My Bible teaches that none of that is what makes us right with God. What makes us right with God is God did something. And he stepped in for all humanity to respond to his goodness. His love he shows through Christ Jesus and the death on the cross and the power of the resurrection. And God's offering that to anyone who would dare respond. Why was Jesus eating and hanging out with people that were notorious sinners and tax collectors? Because God cares about all people everywhere. My friends, let us never get so clean that we refuse to rub up beside people who need Jesus. The church is to be in the world, set apart for a purpose. We're not to be of the world. That doesn't mean that we do what the world's doing, but we are in the world rubbing up against people and showing them the love of Christ and becoming who he has designed them to be. And my friend, if that's not the relationship you're in with God, and you're not fulfilling your God potential and fulfilling your purpose, I invite you in today, because I believe that's what Jesus is inviting you into. He wants you in right relationship so he can realign your heart, so he can restore the purpose that he has for your life. Step into it and become who God has designed you to be. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here. God, I thank you for every background here. God, if there's a person here today that's been running from you or rebelling against you, God, I pray somehow, some way, they could see your heart through this story Jesus told to some people as he tells it to us today. God, they could see you in the story. They could see your heart in the story, that you stand readily awaiting for them to turn and come home so you can embrace them, put your arms around them, love on them, and build them up into who they're going to be. God, you find us right where we are, and you always realign the relationship so we can become who you've designed us to be. And God, if there is one here today, maybe they've been sitting under the church roof, working all of their life like the second son. And today they realize that you desire the relationship. And God, you always have loved them. And God, you're honored that they serve you, but more than them just being a servant, you want them to become a son or a daughter and begin to live out of that love relationship, instead of just being a person who serves you and holds bitterness in their heart. My friend, I don't know where this story finds you today, but I pray today that we could be the kind of church that says Jesus cares for you right where you are. He's looking for you to turn from your sin. He's looking for you to return home. He died on a cross because he greatly loves you. He resurrected from a grave to show you he has power to do the same in your life. And my friend, the Bible says when we put our faith that Jesus did that for us, he died for our sin and he resurrected so we could have life. In that moment, God begins to rearrange us and realign us. And if you've never stepped into that relationship, I invite you just to do that maybe today. Maybe you want to say a prayer right now, right where you sit, and just say, God, today, I want to return home. I want to return home. I thank you for what Jesus has done for me on the cross. I thank you that he resurrected from a grave. And today I want to be in right relationship with you. My friend, if you said that prayer by faith, I want to say what all of heaven says, welcome home. The Bible says that angels in heaven rejoice over one person returning home. So today we as a church, we celebrate you and your return home. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.